Your personal godliness, your personal godliness will be much of your rescue in the days that we live in and in days of crisis. Your personal godliness. Yeah, it's good to come to church. It's good to fellowship with the saints. But if you have been a Christian for a while, please, can you look up a minute? If you've been a Christian for a while, you'll notice that much of what will happen in your life does not depend on what others are doing for you. People can pray for us. We'll see that in a minute. Let's go to chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 8. So I'll just make that practical things, then we'll zero on something, then we'll take off. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, if you look at that verse, talking about bodily exercise. So, if we look at godliness as something profitable, so godliness also is also an exercise. Please listen to this. If bodily exercise was mentioned there, so godliness is also an exercise. And what's an exercise? It's something you do to keep fit. Am I right? Let me give an example. If you are going somewhere now, maybe you are in a house, and they said, hey, the house is burning, and the fire is ferocious. Your speed of running out, am I here? Your speed of running out depends on how fit you are. Am I right? I don't know if you agree with me on that. If the fire is raging so fast, the faster your speed, the better you'll be rescued. Now, group at that moment cannot rescue you. Being a group, of course, all of you are running, but your speed depends on you personally. I wish I can drop this in our heart and remind us. No matter how we are together as a group, in time of divine intervention, it's more of our personal spiritual fitness that will help us to be rescued and help us to enter into the largeness of God's grace for our life. So, practicing godliness is fundamental not only to your survival, but your thriving. And so, what does it mean to practice godliness? 1 Timothy 4, where we are. He starts talking about a few things there. What does it mean to practice godliness? Look at verse, let's go to 3, verse 17 first. 1 Timothy 3. Is it verse 17? Yeah. Okay, sorry, verse 16. So, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Let's look at the core of godliness. 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, can you just look up a minute? Without controversy, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. Now, can you see he was describing the secrets of godliness now? And amazingly, what did he say? God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up. Can I ask you a question? Who was he describing there? You should know that now. Who was God manifest in the flesh? Jesus. So he's saying that godliness, the center of godliness, is not being just pious and religious. The center of godliness is active followership of Jesus, where Jesus becomes the center of your life. And not just Jesus as a person, Jesus somewhere there, but Jesus who came to this life. Jesus, who grew up in this life as the Son of God. Jesus, who died Jesus who rose again, and Jesus who has gone to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. That's the secret of godliness. Not just God. Godliness does not make any sense without Christ. Because no one has ever seen God. But the one that came from him, his son. So, people can look very pious and religious and godly. But that's not godliness. Godliness, in the sense of rightness of God, is that you follow... Okay, let me give you like this. Remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember? When there were three people with him. Who are they? John, James, and Peter. And then Peter got up out of sleep. Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah, they were there. Remember that? You went to Sunday school when you were growing up. And then Peter woke up and he said, Master, it's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles for you. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. The Bible says the cloud of glory came and knocked them on the floor. They fell flat on their faces. And then the voice says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. That's godliness. You see, Moses stand for the law. Elijah stand for the prophet. Some people's godliness is to just always do something. Don't. They are full of rules. Some other people's godliness is to be looking for the present word of God, going to prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet. That's what they call godliness. As a woman carries you somewhere when you are growing up. They are always going to men of God, find something. What does God say now? What does God? That's not godliness we're talking about now. Neither is it full of rules. Like somebody said, who are in heaven? They said there will be elders in heaven. He said, I'm not going to heaven because there are elders there. Elders cause too much trouble in church. No. Elders bored. So, godliness is actively listening, following Christ. Not just you are full of rules or you are always following prophet. Going to this, going to that, give you some soap, give something. I think you are godly. They pray like that. You know, that's not godliness. Godliness is not that. Godliness is following Christ. Hallelujah. Now, what are the practices of godliness? Let's look at the first one. 1 Timothy 4 verse 15. When you see a godly person, what do you see first about their lives? Listen to this. A godly person, his first practice is that he meditates. What do I say? I don't mean that he goes somewhere, do lotus leg, and say, oh, yum, 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 yum. Oh, yum, 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 yum. Or yoga, meditation. I don't mean that. A person who is godly is more mindful about his life than the rest of others. A person who is godly, the very first thing you notice in their life is that they are more inwardly bent than outwardly bent. If somebody is godly, the very first thing you notice in their life is that they want to know from inside what God wants them to do, not what people are saying. A person who is godly is dancing to a different drum beat. When you ask him, he will give a further, more thoughtful opinion from God than just by himself. A godly person is thoughtful. And that's why he will make progress in life. He does not just rush into anything based upon opinion, based upon his feeling, or based upon his mood. He is more calculated, listening. When you see him moving, you don't sometimes can't tell the reason why, but it's thoughtful on the inside. You see, people who don't have self-control are not thoughtful. When they walk, they just walk around. when they rebuke, they don't have that kind of control in their lives. So number one, a person who is godly is a person, you see, because, you see, if you are going to follow Christ, there must be a way of interchange between you and Christ. And the only way he's going to interchange with you is to open up to his thoughts. Sorry to say this, forgive me. Many people, 90% of people, live largely in their own mind and in their own thoughts than Christ's thought coming to them. How am I feeling this morning? What's going on in my life? See my children. I don't understand what's happening to them these days. You see, that's a person that is not thoughtfully godly. A person who is thoughtfully godly will say like this, how are my children? But I know they are in the hands of God. God promised me that. You see, he's thinking. He's thinking along with the word of God. When he goes to his workplace and somebody insults him and degrades him, it doesn't become so full of all that going on. Why are they? Now, you think like this. You think, so, but Solomon said, it's honorable for a man to take insult and don't complain. See that? You see, he's meditating in the light of what he knows and what he has learned from God. That's the very first thing. Maybe your wife do something bad. You just stop and tell yourself, Bible says, husband, love your wife. And love cover multitude of sins. And that restrains you. That's what we call a person who is godly. A person who is godly largely does not largely move by the way he feels. Because he's not the one dominating his life. Now, to make that possible, number one, what did I say? He meditates. Second, let's look at, Jesus gave us three practices that a godly person will do. Let's go to Matthew 6. It's a very rewarding, highly rewarding life. You know, when somebody is godly, the older he gets, the more rewarding is his life. You can't tell me you are godly and all your life is in shambles as you go on in life. No. The path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody, this morning? So the older we get, you see, you know that now, the physically fitter you are when you are younger and practicing all the things about health habits, the older you get, the more you will reap the reward of that. Am I correct, Hans? Am I correct? It's just the same thing with your career. If you have been serious with your career in your younger days and keep on building that career muscles and developing yourself, the older you get, the more you get to the top than being at the bottom. Am I correct? We all know that. So the same way spiritually, the more you use this, I tell people that are younger, don't worry, I know you will fall, you will get up, but don't stop doing it. Keep going at it. You know, keep doing it. And don't let other people determine what you are doing. Dance by the different drum beats. Let's look at Matthew 6, what Jesus said about other practices. I said the first practice of a person who is godly is what? To meditate. Everything he thinks is thoughtful about what he's doing. Next one, the first thing you notice that person who is godly practice after meditation is that, look at verse 1, Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not do your charity. Give us in King James, KJV. Maybe we'll see. Maybe it says that over there. Can you look up? Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. See that word, alms. After being thoughtful, the very first thing, the second thing, a person who is godly is generous. I know you are not thinking that somebody who is godly is like that. Something you notice about a person who is godly, after, is thoughtful. In fact, that thoughtfulness affects him to see others in their needs. It's a spiritual practice for a godly person to be bringing forth and be giving. Give us an Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic, this verse. Take a look. I want to see something. There's a particular verse, particular word I'm looking for. It's not, give me... Amplified. Something I want to show you. They use it in even Islamic world. I've not found it yet. The Bible says that when you practice righteousness, you know, Bible, you know if your Bible says that, Matthew 6 verse 1, anybody check your Bible? Let's look for more. Can you give me NET? We'll keep looking. I want you to see something. They're all saying good deeds, good deeds. Another Bible? Give us another Bible. Aha! NIV. Can you look up, everybody? Be careful not to do your act of righteousness before men to be seen by them. So there is what they call act of righteousness. Please, can you look up, everybody? What are the acts of righteousness? Is to be generous to others. I know you don't think righteousness, generosity is the same thing. A person who is godly, he practices generosity, not because he has millions of naira. And he doesn't do it for NGO. He doesn't do it to be seen by men. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, the second practice of a godly person is that he's generous with his life. I don't only mean just giving out money and donating out money. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 4. I want to show you some more. First one is giving, is generous. Verse 5. The third one now, we've seen the first one, he meditates. Number two, what does he do? He gives. Number three, and when you pray, a godly person practices a praying life. He's a praying person. He's a praying person. As a godly person, he practices praying. We'll see that. I'm going to leverage on that later. So the first thing about a godly person is thoughtful. He looks more from inside than from outside. Second, he's giving. He's generous with his life. Third, he has a prayer life. And this prayer is not that it's a group kind of prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrite. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogue on the cross of the seat, that they may be seen by men, so they have their reward. Next verse. But when you pray, next verse quickly, when you pray, go into your room. So this person has a private praying life. He's not waiting for others before he prays. Let's look at the last one. We're looking at four things about a godly person. Give us verse 16. And moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrite. These are personal issues of righteousness, of godliness. Number one, what does he do? He's thoughtful, meditating. Second, he's generous. Third, he prays. Last one, he fasts. Are you listening? He fasts, not church fast. He fasts. He fasts on his own. Pastor, I don't like fasting. Sorry, you're ungodly. You don't like fasting. I don't like praying. You're ungodly. Moreover, when you fast. Now, this fast, have you noticed these three things? Jesus said, don't do it before people. He said, don't do your giving before people. Don't do your praying before people. I don't do your fasting before people. Nigerian committed all the three of them. we want to give, we call all the camera. Even pastors today, they want to give a video one house, they call all the cameras. He said, don't tell. Then the second, is the one that, prayer meeting, they announce like, hey, we're going to have one million match to pray for Nigeria. October 1, and the rest of the days, they don't pray. They want to bring all the people come out and interview. Nigerian leadership, we need to pray. There's only one day, it's just public. And then finally, they fast.
50 days. Ah, I need for 50 days. You know, you always go somewhere and say, ah, it'll be a while. Say, today, this is 6 o'clock, today, the break. Sound like Muslim, all right? He said, when you fast, that's the day you should dress up very well. Praise God. So fasting, praying, and giving, they are the lifestyle of a godly person. Let's look at one person like that. Look at your Bible. Acts 10 verse 1. Take a look at this. You see, just ordinary person, ordinary soldier. Acts 10 verse 1, quickly. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Are we there? A centurion. This is a soldier of what was called the Italian regiment. Now listen to this. A devout, see that word again now. A devout man. One who feared God with all his household. Who gave alms, what? To the people. And prayed to God always. And later he said he was fasting till about 3 p.m. and an angel appeared to him. Remember Cornelius? Now, let me drop this. Let me help you. Some people are not born again, but they also kind of godly. Are you hearing me? They are easier to get saved than those ranking sinners. Can I surprise you? On the day of Pentecost, people that actually got born again, they were devout men. They were men. I don't have time to do all this now. Bible says, devout men came from all over the world. It was the feast they came from. But let's take it there. So there is what? Four things we see in the life of a godly person. What does he do? He meditates. Second, he's generous. Third, he prays on his own. And fourth, he fasts. Now, out of all the four, let me just zero on praying today. You must have an ongoing prayer life as a person. You must, now, write these three words down if you are writing. There's praying for one another. There's praying with one another. There's praying yourself. There is praying for one another. I can say, Brother Bayo, I want to pray for him. Second, there is praying with one another. For instance, you know, I learned to do this these days. It's really helping me. You know, if I do this all the time, you know, not all the time, that's not accurate. I do it most of the time. Somebody comes to me and say, ah, something is happening. What do we do? I can say, I'll pray for you. And I walk off. And I walk off and say, I pray for you. And only God helped me to remember what I just said. Happens to all of us. But I noticed that I was failing there. So I'll just stop and I say, let's just pray now. So we just pray with one another. That's powerful. You know, maybe my wife tells me something is happening to her. I can say, I'm going to pray for you. Or I can just say, let us take our hands right now and pray. One said, oh, I'm going to Kaduna tomorrow. Pastor, pray for me. I can say, all right, I pray for you. I turn away, I forget. But I can just say, can we just pray right now? And then we just join our hands together and take that burden to the master. And that's it. We must learn to do that. Pastor, why must I learn to pray with somebody else? Because one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. If you're a husband and wife at home, you never pray together, you actually weaken more. I don't mean pray together formally, kind of a thing. When any issue occurs, we pray. Are you hearing me? And don't make prayer something, we're going to pray now. We need to pray, come about the boy. Any child can pray. There's one instant called praying mantis. Have you ever prayed mantis? You know, it stops in prayer or something. Just take your wife's hand, like now, like I pray with my wife this morning. We just pray for all, everybody. And you could cover so much. You don't have to, just speak as if you are conversing with God and he's listening. Can you clap your hands for Jehovah God?
Hallelujah. So that's praying one for another, that's praying with one another, and that's praying yourself. Now, praying for one another is 30-fold. Praying with one another is 60-fold. Praying yourself is 100-fold. Are you hearing me? For instance, I can eat for you. I can eat with you. But I must learn to eat by myself. Are you hearing me? Hello? Are we here? Are we here? You see, that's what happened to us as children. When you are very small, as a baby, you can't eat yourself. Mommy eats for you. What do you mean by that? She eats the food, turn it to milk, and give you the milk. Am I right? And you suck the milk. The time comes, she starts telling you, sit down, oh yeah, let's eat. And I know some of you, you never ate until they sit down with you. Anybody like that over here? They sit down, say, sit down, I'll take your stuff. You start eating together. Then after a while, you start eating by yourself, which is the biggest one. Am I right, everybody here? So praying, that's praying for one another, which those of us who are stronger should do for the rest of the people. The stronger you are spiritually, the more you pray for others. Just like a mother giving milk. And then you pray with one another. Then you pray yourself. And that praying yourself must be cultivated with all sense of duty. Because you will never know when you need spiritual strength. Let me show you. Daniel 6. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Can you find Daniel 6? Give us verse 1. We just jump and skip. Okay, next verse. And over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that is satraps, who was government official. Next verse. And then this Daniel, can you look up everybody? Distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now Daniel was among the three presidents over 120 governors. That's the emperor, that's three presidents, that's a big company, 120 governors. Now Daniel was one of the three presidents. And then Daniel, remember, meditate, make progress, remember? So Daniel began to meditate as a godly person and start breaking through at work. Now, let me help you. This is our order over here. You see, Christians today, they are the worst set of people at work. Sometimes Christians will give you more troubles than unbelievers. Do you know why? I tell you the reason why. Because largely Nigerian Christians don't meditate. It all starts and stops in the church. When they meditate, they will live better. If you meditate, your work can't be the same. Christians in Nigeria spend more time together than apart. So when you meditate, you see what you need to do better. How to amend things. So Daniel didn't have any company. So he meditated and he began to break through beyond the normal class of people. And then they began to look for a loophole in his life. Let's keep reading. Next verse quickly. Let's go on. So the governors were looking for fault in him. They couldn't find any fault. Next verse quickly. Then this man said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning what? You know, we have the reverse of this verse today in our country. The more people are religious, the less they are productive. They will go to work on Tuesday. They will go to church on Tuesday morning. 10 o'clock prayer meeting. Why do you say you want to come? I will have prayer meeting at church. But it's time for work now. God is first now. The God is all backward. That means that if you are so good, I mean today, if you see somebody who is excellent, doing quite well, you have to look beyond the spirituality to know that he's doing better. And I'm sorry to say this. A lot of these people today, they are made pastors and deacons in church. They never had time for their own life, for their family, or for their career. They're just busy running around, almost doing nothing for Jesus. You should be deepening your spiritual life and heightening your experience with him. That's what you are here for. Not just to come and run around and be doing church. Hallelujah.
Let's keep on reading. So they made a pact to destroy him by their own policies. And they said, nobody should pray to any God. See. They came to see that the prayer life of Daniel was the key to his outstanding success. Can we say that about you? Oh, it's just your energy and your braggadocio that gives you that kind of a thing. Huh? If you don't pray for the next 30 days, would there be any difference in your life? Let's go on. So they made a law. Next verse. And next verse. And next verse. So they made a law. Next verse. Therefore, the king signed the written decree. Now look at next verse. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down where? On his knees 3 times that day. And pray and give thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So, see, crisis didn't even increase his prayer life. Didn't decrease his prayer life. He had a vibrant praying life as a person. He had an ongoing conversation with God. Not just in crisis time. See, people like this in our country here, people pray. If you want to make money as a pastor, start talking about crisis prayer. Oh, come on. They always want to focus on that. There's nothing like living. We were not designed, the church around here, it's not designed for you to live. It's just for you to solve your problems and go and create more problems and come back again. Huh? Can you imagine a life that's lived, that there's no fault? Everything's working. You know how to ram that one, move that one in. You have a steady life. So, let's go a step further. Your prayer life. Let me give you some verses we're going to look at. Then I'm going somewhere actually. I've not got to where I'm going. Talk about something we need for our prayer life. Let's look at your prayer life. Let's go. Philippians 4, verse 6. Your praying life. Your personal. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your room. Like we said, Daniel, he went to his room. Now, there is praying in church, which is normal, public. But you should be having more. How many of you live in church? You don't, myself, don't live in church. So you live your life in your home, in your life, in your work. So God wants you to craft out regular time of praying without others. So, this is our prayer life. Be anxious for nothing. Are we there, everybody? Be anxious for nothing, but what? In everything. Whoa! In everything. Be what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What will happen to you? What will you do? He said, let your request be made known to God. So, from this verse, to have a successful prayer life, you have to do something first. You have to knock off worry. You see, when you are not meditating, then you are worrying. Yoruba call it aniyo. Yoruba call asaro for meditate. Am I right? Asaro, wasa, waru, aniyo. It's all mess up. When you see, you're not going to have a vibrant prayer life as long as you worry. Worry is destroying your prayer life. Worry, like one of my friends said, is like sitting on a rocking chair. What happened to my chair? It's gone rusty. I've not been there for some time. You see, it's like, worry is like a rocking chair. You are moving, but you are going nowhere. You see, I'm moving, and I'm making noise too. On my nerves,
on my brain, on my joint. See, instead of worrying, God said, pray, supplicate, thank me. Then your request is known to me. Oh, I wish I have time, but that's not where I'm seeing. He said, so don't worry about anything. I know. How will I get enough money to buy food these days? Stop thinking like that. Start thinking like this. God will provide. Father, I need more money these days to take care of this. We need grace. We have to do some of this. My workplace is foul. See, you are turning to what now? Give us a message Bible. I want to run. Okay. Lord, help me. Don't fret or worry. Oh, listen. Instead of worrying, do what? This is a prayer life. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. Woo! Shape that worry and start adapting it to become a request. Will I be able to pay for that thing? Lord, I will need some help from you. And next time you are thinking, God will give me some help. Hallelujah. Do you know that the older you get, the more things to worry about? How many of you agree with me here? The higher you go, the more things you have to worry about. But praise God, Daniel will take everything to his father. Now, let me now run. I have to run now. Now, in your prayer life, what are you really after? For God to answer you. Am I right? Anybody here? There's no need to be talking to God and don't get anything. It's like taking your phone and be talking to your phone and you don't get any reply. So let's talk about how do we receive from God in prayer. This is vitally important. I want to deal with this. Take a look at James 1, verse 6. If you are going to have a vibrant prayer life that will receive from God, but let him ask in what? Can you look up everybody? Let him ask where? With no... Charles, or whoever is there, can you make doubting a capital for me, capital letter, or capital word? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, look at next verse, which is very scary. Very scary. Next verse. Can you jump for us to the next verse while you are still typing? For let not that man, don't even think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Doubt. Next verse. For he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So your greatest enemy in your prayer life is doubt. He says, you should pray without doubting. That if you doubt, don't even suppose you will receive anything from the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Doubt is a major thing in prayer. You know that today people say this. I've seen people say, and we pray though. You see, happen? No. You see, I've said, it's not about praying, it's about believing. Let's talk about your prayer life in the area of doubt. Because if you doubt, you won't receive anything from the Lord. That's why you stop praying, because you're not receiving. So doubt is your biggest enemy in prayer. Let's look at one more, Mark 11:23. Dealing with difficulties in your life too. Let's talk about that one for a few minutes. In prayer, talking to mountains. For as surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, can you look at this verse very carefully? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The only caveat in that verse, the only restraining factor is doubt. Am I correct there? So, please listen to me, everybody. If doubt is such a powerful, principal thing to block your way to God, we must find every ways and means to understand doubt and defeat it. How many of you agree with me on that? Because if we don't understand what doubt is, We will keep on doubting without knowing we are doubting. And then we will keep on not receiving from God and be blaming God for what we are not getting. Does that make some sense? So I have to do a journey in my own life. What does it mean to doubt? And I must not assume. So one day, God helped me. I'm forever grateful to God. God, I'm forever grateful. I asked myself, Lord, can you show me? I don't want to hear principle. I don't want to hear 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you show me what it means to doubt? So I will stop the doubting and receive more from you. Because I don't know about you. Sometimes I will pray and I feel I really believe and nothing will happen. And sometimes I will pray. It's as if I'm not really believing and it will happen. So I didn't know where I was really stumbling. Can you doubt? Go doubt, but you what? Like they sang in Yoruba, I bag bo bila. Tell me, Lord. Me, Ori, go to the school, go bila. I don't even know who he is. I can't even do bila. So while I was thinking about that, God just showed me Matthew 14. He said, I want to show you what it means to doubt. So you won't be falling. Even when you doubt, you know you doubt now. At least I know I doubt now. Let's come and see Matthew 14. Let's round up with that. You know, we have traveled talking about godliness, then come to prayer life, then prayer life to receive from God. Matthew 14. I didn't ask you to open anything yet. I've not mentioned the verse, so just hold on. Praise the Lord. Jesus just fed the crowd. And verse 22. Let's just read this story. I want us to just follow. Start bringing this one. After Jesus multiplied bread in that desert place, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowd he just fed with bread and fish. Next verse. And when he had sent multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to do what? To pray. See, Jesus, just like you have to practice righteousness. Or godliness rather. Now when evening came, he was alone there. If you never learn to be alone with God, you won't travel far with God. I saw one verse. I think I should show you. Luke 11. Is it Luke 11? Verse 1. About Jesus. Amazing. We come back here. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of the disciples came to him. Listen, Jesus left them, went to pray. Pray. They were there, disciples. And then he came back. And one of them said, Lord, your prayer life is amazing. Can you teach us to pray? They never said, teach us to preach. Teach us to cast out devils. But they said, teach us to pray. Wow. Jesus' first job is to pray. Not to preach. Let's go back to Matthew 14:23. Pray. Matthew 14:23. Quickly, let's go. He was alone there, just toward evening, when evening came. Next verse. But the boat, you know, he sent them off to go by themselves. Am I right? He went to pray. Interesting. The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So these 12 boys, they are about. Jesus left them and said, go to the other side. I'll come and join you. They climbed up to go and pray on a mountain. And, Lord, how do I go past this? Your frustrations, your fruitfulness, your failures, your pains, they should be expressed somewhere. You can't bottle them up. You go psychiatric. So there is a presence of all presences. That where you can go and offload all your burdens. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, thank you because you are always there for me. Thank you that you are always listening. Thank you that you depend, you listen to me. Thank you because I depend on you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Now, Jesus was on the mountain praying. His disciples were on the sea having struggle. And around 6 or 7 o'clock, that took place. You know what happened? They struggled all through the night. Let's keep reading. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, that's around 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Wow. Jesus was there by himself. You know, one time I was studying night vigil. One time I was studying night vigil in the Bible. I was studying night vigil. And I came to see that Jesus spent his vigils alone a lot of time. You know, many of us like vigil because we know we are going to sleep. So when we have company, we won't sleep. And I remember those days around 2 a.m. we start singing, oh, jump, 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 jump. Because we are jumping, actually because we are sleeping. Went to them walking on the sea. Now, wait. He was praying on the mountain. He was praying, praying, praying. And then, what my Bible says, I didn't see that one. That's in John. He said, and he saw them struggling on the sea. Are you here? Are you here? Can you imagine mountain in the midst of thick darkness? And he was praying on the mountain. Disciples were struggling on the sea. How can you see a boat on the sea? Small, tiny, and it's totally dark. Oh, come on. When you spend time in prayer, you'll have discernment. You will see what eyes can see, what ears don't hear. The reason why a lot of time your life is just jumbo, mumbo, jumbo, jumbo is because you don't see things. You don't hear things. It's all by yourself and from the news. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, you see that happened to me in church. Praying like this, I just see what to do next and what will happen, you know. I mean, sometimes some issues will happen like this at home. I just start praying. I just what to do with it. Sometimes I've seen this happen to me. I'll be angry like that, something I need to do, and I must handle this. And as I pray, I'll sense another part of me that is making things better. And when I finish praying, I go back to that my other angry part. I mean, how many of you have been there before? You know, so I don't just keep on praying to maintain myself in the calm, cool poise. So Jesus just came down walking on the sea. Don't forget where we are going. Doubting. Let's go on. Next verse. Disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And he cried out for fear. Next verse. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid." Remember, we are doing what I call anatomy of doubt. We want to find out what doubt is. Next verse. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you." Now, wait. This was dark. Some of you over here, you commit a sin when you read your Bible. You commit this sin. They call it the sin of anachronism. Pastor, big word. What's the sin of anachronism? You read the Bible as if it's today. For instance, when you see, the Bible says, and the five foolish virgins didn't carry light. You don't understand because you don't carry light. There's light here. Are you hearing me? But in the village, it's thick dark. Without a lamp, you can't go anywhere. Now, can you imagine? It's all dark. There's no flickering light from Nepal street light. Are you hearing me? It was pitch dark. And you see one person looking like a ghost walking on the water, and you get afraid. And the next thing you do, he said, "It's all right, don't worry." And you now tell the person, "If you are the one, command me to come to you on the water." Normal day, do you ever walk on water? Oh, answer me. Even normal day, I will say, "Can we row up to you?" Peter was asking for the impossible. And that's what we do in prayer, don't we? Am I right? That's what we are asking. What we cannot do that God can do for us. Anybody here like me? Thank you. Command me to come to you on the water. Look at next verse. And Jesus said, "Come." Don't forget, we are talking about doubt now. Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, what did he do? Hallelujah. The first sinful human to walk on the sea. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now where I'm going, look at this verse now. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, mark that verse. Now, look at this verse. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you got it? Got it. Hello, show me. I was so glad. Can't forget it today. He said, I want to show you how you doubt and when you doubt. Whoa. What is doubting then? And you don't forget, doubt is the greatest thief of God's blessing. So what's doubt? Let's look at that scenario again. Peter was in the boat along with the 11. Jesus was walking on the sea. And Peter asked Jesus, can I join you on the water? And Jesus gave a word. What did he give? Come. And listen, this will explain belief too and doubt. So, listen everybody. When Peter had come, everybody else had it. When did Peter believe? This is where I'm going now. Peter believed not by saying, I believe. When he took his leg out of the boat and stepped out on the water, he took Jesus by his word. That's what we call belief. There's no believing if there's no word you are taking God by. Say that one more time. There is no believing. Even when you pray, what word are you taking God by? Are you hearing me? I like it in Yoruba. The word believe, Yoruba, I think Ajayi Crowder had one of the best definitions. Igbagbo. You don't know that? There is in that Igbagbo, bo already. To bagbo was Igbagbo. So there is bo, come. But then he accepted it, not by saying, I accept. He stepped out on it. Glory. Now, where was the doubt? Give us the verse before this verse again. Now, let's look at where the doubt is. Now, he started walking with the word, but when he saw the wind, see, the contrary circumstances, this happened to all of us. You take the Bible, you say, God said we'll agree together, we agree together, we believe, we confess the promise. And as you step aside, certain circumstances will occur that will negate that word. Am I right? Certain things will come up and say, ah, I want to deny a visa by. Deny a visa care. Oh, when you go, will find anybody visa? Oh. See, that moment, that is the word that you are stepping on. The moment you get afraid, now we pray with you. You quoted the word, by stripe you are healed. And then you go to the toilet and you see blood again. The moment you got afraid, that's the beginning of doubt. You got the gist? You got the gist? Every time, you see, the biggest word in this verse was he saw. When you start looking at the circumstances and start living what you actually receive from God's word, because, and let me warn you, can I warn you? Outside circumstances will always rebel against God's word until you tame it by faith. Are you hearing me? Circumstances. Oh, makatala shadabaya kapaya. Kibola vashadabaya. What is spiritual warfare? People don't understand spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare is not just to be circling Satan. I go bazooka. No, that's not spiritual warfare. It's not that you are making noise and tormenting the devil with bazooka tongues. Let's look at what spiritual warfare is. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 3. Hallelujah. Doubting. He saw the circumstances. He became afraid. Oh, look at this verse over here. For though we walk in the flesh, that's what they call it. Onward Christian soldier. We do not war. We don't fight according to the flesh. We don't let the circumstances determine our life. Circumstances, when we look at them, they will sink us in the waters of life. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for what? Take a look. Mighty in God for what? Now, people now take this stronghold and make it Orisha Junction Itoku. Huh? Stronghold. That's what they call stronghold. You know, Orisha Itoku. Batala Ilefe. You know? He told us, look at comma, next verse. Casting down arguments. KJ says, imaginations in your head. See, when Peter looked at Jesus, he said, come, and he stepped out. When he saw the wind bursting, his imagination took over. Oh boy, on lo abe omiri. Ile aye bo. How many of you have been there? Don't raise up your hands. You will see the accident occurring. You will see your body knocked out and taken to hospital. Huh? Oh, you know I'm not talking about all. The same visions are going on in all our head. There's television, there's God's evil vision, there's devil's vision. Do you hear me? You show your children something about school. You just paint the picture and show you the end from the beginning. It's a bad devil. Or start creating argument in your head. Oh, sometimes, you know, I'm at home with my wife. Something happened, and I'll be, she didn't know, I'm looking cool, but as an argument going in my head, which side will I go? Casting down, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whoa, God said this, and something else is going on. And he's telling you that knowledge is nonsensical. Now, look at what he's saying now. Bringing every thought into what? Captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, Peter was walking on the sea, and he saw the wind boisterous. The thing just started jamming. Just to be honest, Jesus said that. Jesus said, come. I'm going to come to him. See, that's it. That's how you're going to live. You're not going to live by what you hear and what you see around you. You will hear, as you get older, you'll be hearing bad news. Just like about 2 weeks now, I've had people die around me. That one died. That younger one died. That one lost the child. You know, take your head over and say, Sometimes, I can sense it in my wife's head. You know? Something going on. I say, dear, sit down. The word of God said, thank you, my dear. That's why we're married. If you're married, that's the beautiful thing about life. Just call your wife. God will take care of you. Just tell her once in a while. You're not going anywhere. Praise God. You know, tell your wife, I'm not leaving you. And they say, that one left, that uncle left, that auntie left. Call your wife, I'm not leaving you. We are here together. Anything happens, we'll settle it. You don't know how much you have done. Because there are televisions in our head, CNN from hell. You know, sometimes I pick up my girl, see something, then they say, that pastor left his wife. Then my wife say, did you hear? I said, I hear. I said, I'm not leaving. You know, I remember those younger days, you know, when I just started serving the Lord, started ministry. I didn't have any car. Prophet, remember those days now? I run around, I don't have any car. So I get to Lagos, get to Mosul like this, and I see cars passing, and I say, to mother car, I me. To me, car, alone, 5 your head working overtime on you. Sometimes it won't let you rest during the day. And when you sleep at night, it will come by dreams. Am I right? It will come by dreams. Praise God. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Let me stop. See, why did you doubt? Quit that thought. Quit that thing. Quit that barrier. Just say, no. Sometimes you have to open your mouth and say, I said no, God says so. By yourself alone. Oh, let me close like this. When I was starting out in ministry, I didn't have any house for 6 months. Pastor, where are you staying? I didn't stay under the bridge anyway. Finally, I got a house in Abeokuta. It's a nice place. I've told you before. One room, one parlor, toilet joined to the kitchen. You finish in the kitchen, you go to the toilet. You understand that? You know? And I got this house. I didn't have money to pay. And I just believe in God. One of my friends, Braka Odi, in Lagos, said, I'll give you some money. Come and see me. I can't forget that day. It was December 10, 1988. They're having a government election under SDP and Co. So I went to Lagos to go and see him. Around the Alhaji Masha. I couldn't find him at home. I went to go and see him in another house where they were monitoring the election. I said, Braka Odi, I'm here. You said as we come. I said, Ratone, you know what? I just saw my whole future. Just where am I going to stay? Where am I going to sleep now? He promised me. But you know what I did? I always carry those days. Gideon's Bible. I remember Gideon's Bible. So I have those days in my pocket. So I was going. I left his house. I'll go and sleep now in his house. Going to Alhaji Masha. Around 10 in the night. My mind was confused. You know what I did? I took out my Bible, put it on the floor. On the road. I said, Lord, I'm standing on your word. Pastor, it's a holy book. If you can't stand on your Bible, throw it away. By the way, you can stand on. I know you can stand on your tablet. I said, Lord, standing on. I said, Lord, I'm standing on your word. If I go down, your word will go first. And you know what? I want to thank you because you take care of me. Took my Bible. One man was, that's my supposition. He was looking at from his door. He saw this young man talking to him. He said, put something on the floor. He just ran inside. Thought I was gone. You know? So I picked up my Bible, dusted it off, went to sleep in his house, got on the bed, slept to leave second day. Around 5-6 o'clock, he woke me up. Said, Pratunde, wake up. Here is the money. I can sit over here and tell you 1,000 testimonies like that. 1,000 testimonies. Health, life, children, future, everything. I can tell you. I'll open for next hours. That I have to just take my stand. Just take my stand on his word. And don't doubt. And it's not, it looks as if it's not going to work at all. But God can change anything overnight. Praise God, somebody. And you know what? I learned something else too. If it didn't work, I'll get up like that, another day is coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can tell you more. I remember one time I was believing, just starting at those days, I was trusting God for 1,000 naira. And December was coming. And I said, before December 25th, I will receive this money, 1,000 naira. I trusted God, believed God. Do you know what? 25th came, there was no money. 26th, Boxing Day, I felt boxed all over. And I told myself, this is very crazy. I said, I believe I receive it before Christmas. The devil said, you're not rolling mad. You're rolling mad. 31st came, no money. 1st came, no money. 30, I think around 20 something or 30, the end of January, I went to a poster box in Lagos. I opened it, box 6846, Surulere. I used to have it. And I saw a letter from my friend in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who traveled, sent me a letter. When I opened it, I found a brooch there. I don't care about the brooch. When I opened the letter, I found over there $100. It used to be 10 to 1 that time. So that's 1,000 naira sent on December 10.
Sent on December 10. Now, my faith has gone beyond that now. I'm trusting God for bigger things now. I can't tell you. I put out my faith like that, and then I just struggle. I just believe God again. The deal, Antana is gone.
No, I won't use my faith for jets. I don't need jets. But, you know, you just,
and don't let the circumstances waylay you. And of course, once in a while you will fall, but get up again, dust yourself. Righteous man falls 7 times. What does he do again? Get up again. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, doubts, I'm your enemy, and you are my enemy. I give no room to you. What God said will come to pass in my life. I bag Bobila. Tell yourself. Now, see something. Oh, boy. I can't tell. My time is up. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you have to practice this thing and work at it. Let's close with this verse. And we're just going to praise the Lord and thank him. Psalm 27, verse 13. Give us in KJV. KJV. Hallelujah. I'd fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? Tell yourself, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of life, the goodness of health, the goodness of finances, the goodness of marriage, the goodness of joy, the goodness of a great future. I will see. I refuse to faint. No matter what I've gone through. Maybe you are here like that woman, Naomi. She came to believe later. She stopped looking at circumstances. Say, Lord, I believe I will see the Lord's goodness. I don't know what you are facing right now. Now tell yourself, I will see God's goodness here. Praise God. I will see God's goodness here. See, that's what makes your prayer work. I will see God's goodness here. Oh yeah, something bothering you, something tormenting you. Maybe you are falling in a particular area, you are making a mistake. Tell yourself, I will see God's goodness there. God will rescue me. God will bless me. Yeah, the wind may be contrary on the sea of life, but I've heard his word. I've listened to his promise. And I'm trusting that to my old age. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just bless him in the spirit? Can we just give thanks to the Lord? Before the choir will come, we give our offering. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you, mighty God. Can we lift our hands? Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah to your name. I want to appreciate you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just read this place and receive it from the Lord this morning as we get older? Psalm 71, verse 17. Hallelujah. Let's read it. And we're going to claim it as we get older. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. And to this day, I declare your wondrous works. Next verse. Now, also, when I'm old and gray-headed. How many of you are gray-headed here? Thank you. Oh God, don't forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. Your power to everyone who is to come. Notice something very strange. He was talking about strength and power when you are older. I tell yourself, I receive strength. I receive power as I get older. I receive strength, even abundant enough to declare. I receive strength. God will not forsake me. God will not abandon me. Oh, and I will declare his strength to my generation. I will declare his power to everyone who is to come, to your children's children. Oh, I will declare his power. I will declare his strength. So I receive strength. I receive power. I receive ability. I receive divine force to keep me going. Now, I know your body is talking about weakness. You feel things in your body, issues. But can we just say, I receive strength. I receive power. Abundant enough for myself. I want to share. Glory to God. Talk to your body organs. Say, you are receiving strength. Liver, you are receiving strength. Oh, kidneys, you are receiving strength. Eyes, you are receiving strength. Brain, you are receiving strength. Body, you are receiving strength. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, you are receiving strength. Strength. Strength in my blood. Strength in my bones. Strength in my joint. Strength in my tendons. Strength in my nerves. I receive strength. I receive strength. I'm not quitting. Oh, Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong spiritually. I'm strong emotionally. Even as you are saying it, your body is telling you are lying. But tell yourself, I'm strong physically. I'm strong financially. I'm strong in my marriage. I'm strong. I'm going on. God will do what he says he will do. Yeah, I receive strength. For my body, for my fertility, I receive strength. I receive strength. My body is fruitful. My body is fruitful. My home is fruitful. My life is fruitful. The Bible says, in the old day, you still bear fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Particularly zero on those areas in your life that have been speaking against the word of God. Say, no, hear the word of the Lord. I receive strength there. I receive strength there. I'm changing for the better. God is making all things work together for my good. Stop hearing those voices. You are old. You are going down. See, you are not going to go through. See what's happening to your friends. See what's happening to your colleagues. Say no! God will keep his promises to me. God will keep his word to me. And I'll keep going in his strength. I'll keep going in his strength. I'm getting better daily. I'm getting better daily. I'm getting better daily. Pains, failures, mistakes, they are not dominating my life. Compassion of God never fails, praise God. His mercies are new every morning. And day by day, I will experience his faithfulness. Day by day, he's helping me. Day by day, he's strengthening me. I refuse to quit. I refuse to stop believing. I keep on believing in the name of Jesus. Oh, I may have sorrow, but it won't last all night. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I refuse to let the world dominate my thinking. I refuse to let the world out there dominate my thinking. God and his faithfulness, they are all over my life. I'm not perfect. I'm weak. I know that. But he says, I'm strong. So I say, I'm strong. I'm strong in this area. Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made manifest in your weakness. Say, Lord, I receive your power in my weakness. I receive your power in my weakness. I don't have all the influence, but you have the influence. I don't have all the stamina, but you have the stamina for me. You are my strength. You are my light. You are my salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell yourself again, God is faithful. God will keep his word to me, and I will walk on the water of life. The wind around me will not determine my agenda. In the name of Jesus, my light is shining brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Those dark spots in my life, those dark spots in my life, those fear points in my life, you are giving way to the faithfulness of God. God is keeping his word. God is strengthening me. God is keeping my life. I will not fail because God that is with me doesn't fail. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The older I get, the better I'm getting. The mistakes of my youth, they will not dog my steps forever. The foolishness of my younger days will not be my end result conclusion. No, God is turning things around for me like he did for Jacob. Like he did for Isaac, I did for Abraham. I'm their seed. Glory to God. I'm their seed. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Can we get up on your feet? Great is the faithfulness. Oh, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to sing this to yourself. I have a God who never fails.